Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. The Old Testament book of Proverbs and Proverbs chapter number 22. The book of Proverbs and chapter number 22. We're continuing with our series dealing with Proverbs, hitting many of these wonderful Proverbs and hitting the principles that we find thereof, looking for wisdom that we can apply for ourselves. The book of Proverbs, of course, is full of wisdom, and God wants to give us instructions of how to be successful in all areas of our life. Turn with me, if you don't mind, to Proverbs 22, and we find another area that God wants to apply wisdom to. Notice with me, Proverbs 22, and notice with me starting at verse number 15. Proverbs 22 and verse number 15. Notice what the Bible says. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark that phrase that we find there in the book of Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22 and verse 15, notice the phrase, the rod of correction. The rod of correction. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And I thank you that you have given us so much about the human experience and human life, and that we know that you created us and you know exactly what we need to be successful, how to do things right, and that all we have to do is listen and obey, and we watch you as you work. I'm asking that you would give great power tonight, above and beyond, that you would capture hearts, capture minds, and help people to be obedient to you, that they would see you high, holy, and lifted up. They would see you're the God who knows it, and to put you to the test to see that you are true and that your way works. Help us to even have revival or revolution back to the Bible in obedience towards you. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, if you don't mind, to Proverbs 22, if you haven't already. And in verse number 15, we see an important word, an important verse here, and we're going to build upon it with other passages, but we could see a very important, and may I say, lacking subject that is not being taught today. But when we follow God's instructions, I'll just say this right up front, when we follow God's instructions, it works. God's way always works. Notice with me, if you don't mind, as we examine this, the first thing I want to bring to your attention is why we should discipline. Why should we discipline? The first part of that answer is found right here in verse number 15. Foolishness is bound in a child. Foolishness of a child. Why should we discipline? Because there's foolishness inside of a child. Inside of every child is a foolishness, or may we say a natural innocence, or may we say naivety. They're naive. May we say it this way, they have not developed discernment in what's right and wrong. Inside of them is just no discernment. They don't know what's right, and they don't know what's wrong. Now, the quickest way to overcome foolishness, according to the Bible, is to drive it out with biblical discipline. Why is that? Because of the lack of discernment, explaining something to a child doesn't get across. They don't understand. They need something other than words to make sure that it takes hold. So when we talk about biblical discipline, we're trying to get an explanation. We know that our modern world, by the way, has failed. They've come up with their own plans outside of the Bible. They want to come something like, well, let's talk to every child. And by the way, I think we should communicate with children. We should have things, and we'll explain that later. But we understand that talking doesn't get it across. When you tell a 2-year-old no, you're trying to get something across, but if you take time to explain to the two-year-old, the reason why you don't put a paper clip and stick it inside of a wall socket is because you're going to get electricity go through you. They go, blah. Yeah. They don't understand. They have no discernment. We can understand. A two-year-old, you can't explain to them why they can't play in traffic. They don't understand what danger they're in. They just know my ball went out there and I need to go get it. So we have to teach them the word no. And oftentimes that word no has to be accompanied with something to get their attention. May I say that foolishness is abound in the heart of a child. Does a child know, have enough sense to look both ways before crossing a street? No. You could teach them and watch Sesame Street and do the crosswalk, but as soon as they're distracted, they're out in the street, right? But what we need is us to be able to say no, and they stop immediately, correct? Yeah. Their life may be in danger. So why do we have biblical discipline? Because we're trying to get them to understand instructions, even if they don't know why. So maybe they're crossing a bridge that's very rickety, and we could see that they're fixing to get a spot where they're going to fall right into the water. When we say no, what do we expect them to do immediately? And the way that we do that is by putting biblical discipline in them to help them to stop. If they're getting ready to run in front of a semi-truck, they don't see it coming. They have the eye on the ball. They have the eye on getting the other side of the street. We want to say stop and them stop immediately. Why? Foolishness is bound to the heart of the child. They don't know any better. They are missing biblical discernment. They haven't developed yet. And so the way to drive that far from them is the rod of correction, using an instrument to have biblical discipline to help them to understand no when they are not capable of understanding our words right. Does it make sense? All right, let's do this one. Do your homework. Why do I have to do my homework? Because one day you're going to be a thing and you're going to need it. Do they really care about your explanation? What do they need to know? I told you to do something and do it now. That's what they need to understand. You understand the Bible throughout all of the Word of God gives a principle. We obey first, then understanding comes. This is true with our children. We help them to obey first, and then understanding will come. Discernment comes when they learn how to obey. That's why we have too many people today with modern children. I don't understand. I have a sit-down lecture with them, and I had a PowerPoint thing, and my five-year-old still doesn't understand. Though they can't. Foolishness is abound in the heart of the child. Now, let's go back. Did God create us? Yes. Does God know how we operate?
Yes.
Does he also know the fastest way for us to respond?
Yes.
Yeah, and he told us, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. What is the first reason why we should have biblical discipline? Because foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. Without a doubt, people are foolish. And they don't have any understanding. They lack discernment. They don't see. Remember, lack of discernment is lack of far-seeing. They don't see the consequences of their action. They do foolish things that everybody else whose right mind can see is foolish, but they can't. And remember, we went through our five types of fools. Fools cannot understand logic. They cannot understand explanation. They need a different form to get their attention. What's the second reason why we should discipline? The loving care of a parent. The loving care of a parent. Notice with me in chapter 13. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. I want everyone to look in your own Bibles. I want you to mark this verse. This is important. I want you to see that this isn't my opinion, this isn't my idea, this isn't my plan. I want you to see what God has to say. Why? Because I'm fixing to say something that the world may say is mean. I may say something in a second that you're going to look and say, nuh-uh, and I don't want you to argue with me. You have to argue with God's word. Now, hopefully, it's got enough attention that you said, I want to see it for myself. Good. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 24. He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasten him betimes. That's a clear statement. Any parent who refuses to apply biblical discipline hates their child. But I don't understand any parent who hates their child. This is what the Bible says. Why? Because they love themselves more than their kids. They're selfish. They don't love their kids enough to correct them. You understand, God has given so many blessings to children who obey. And a parent who doesn't teach their kid to obey is robbing them, stealing from them blessings. They hate their kids. You say, oh, that's kind of harsh. Okay, look with me in the book of Hebrews. Let's see what God has to say about the matter. Again, I'm taking me out of the equation. This is not my opinion. Let's just see what God's opinion is. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Again, that is a very hard statement. Any parent who refuses to use biblical discipline hates their child. Why? Because they don't love them enough to correct their behavior. Can you imagine how many parents are going to stand before God and God is going to give them that accusation? Why did you hate your kid? What do you mean? And he's going to be able to show them from the Bible. You didn't discipline your kid. You hated your kid. Hebrews chapter 12, and notice with me in verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. That word chastening means that corrective behavior. You could put in your mind biblical discipline. Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. That word means quit, that nor faint. That means that when you get to the place where you look at your kid and they give you the puppy dog eyes and the alligator tit, oh, fine, I'm not going to do that. No, you hate your kid. You need to be the parent. You are responsible. Notice as it goes on, verse number 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receive. Now, this is important teaching. When we get salvation, we also get more than that. There are some people think that we teach that once saved, always saved. And what they believe that we mean is they say that if all you have to do is say a prayer, and no matter what you do after that, you're going to heaven. We don't believe that at all. Why? Because this passage says so. When you get saved, you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you also get a heavenly Father. And as a good, loving Father, our Father will not allow us to get away with sin. Our Father will chasten us, or in the South, take us outside the woodshed. Why? Because he hates us? Because he loves us. Every loving father will discipline his child. You're not better than God, are you? God disciplines his children. Why? Because it works. Because he knows it works. Notice as it goes on in verse 7. If ye endure chastening, God deal with you as a son. May I pause right there? Anyone who God does not take outside the woodshed, any person that does not get biblical discipline or conviction from God is not saved, according to the Bible. It scares me, some people who say, yeah, I'm saved, I'm born again, but they are never convicted of sins. They are never taken outside the woodshed. That's evidence they are not one of God's children. God disciplines every one of his children. And we're not better than God. Verse 7 again. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as a son. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? It's a good question. If you're the dad, then your son wants to be disciplined. You say, whoa, 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 wait a second. Children want to be disciplined? Absolutely. Now, they don't like the spanking, but they love that a parent loves them enough to correct their behavior. I cannot tell you over the years how many teenagers I've dealt with who said, the reason why I act out is because my parents don't care. They let me do whatever I want. And so I act bad on purpose, hoping that maybe they'll correct my behavior. Every child wants to be disciplined. They don't like the act of it, but they want to be loved. Over the last 25 years, we've watched as children respond to me and Miss Leah. Why? Because we're the nicest people around? I hope so, but it's because we're not afraid to tell a child no. And they respond to us and they feel loved because we tell them no, because we correct their behavior. They feel loved that someone actually wants to correct their behavior, cares enough for them to adjust their behavior. This is a biblical principle. God disciplines us because he loves us and gives us that same example. Notice, if you don't mind, as it goes on in verse 8. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof ye are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. You're not one of God's children. And any parent who doesn't discipline their kids, that's harsh. But again, the Bible's clear, both Old Testament, New Testament. Any parent that doesn't discipline their kid hates them. Notice as it goes on. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Notice this. Many of us who grew up, you may not grow up in a Christian home, but you grew up in a home where people corrected you. You remember when you're an adult, you called them back and say, thank you so much for loving me enough to correct my behavior. Yes. I remember calling my parents up and said, I needed more spankings. Not that I wanted them at the time. But I recognize they love me enough to correct my behavior. And as an adult, I appreciate that they corrected me. I would have been a lot different if nobody corrected my behavior. Furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh that corrected us, and we gave them reverence, respect, and honor. Shall we not rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit. Notice this. You know why God disciplines us? To help us for our profit, so we don't continue in that behavior. That should be our motive too when we discipline our kids. Not to get back at them, or not because we're angry. We want them to be the best people they ought to be. And I care enough and I love them enough for them to be the best kids they ought to be, the best parents, or the best people they're going to be. I want them to profit. No, verse number 11. Now, no chastening for the present time seemeth to be joyous. And you could say amen after that. Nobody likes to go behind the woodshed. It is not a fun act at the time. You're wishing it would stop. Crying and screaming and wailing. You remember those days? But notice this. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. It seems to be the worst thing ever to happen. If you're spanking right, by the way. It should be like the sky is falling. But nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereof. Notice this. Afterwards, because it corrected my behavior, it's going to come up peaceable fruit. How do you have a peaceful home? There's a lot of homes that are World War III. Discipline your kids. It has a peaceable fruit. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. This carries a poetical picture of being too weak. Oh, I just can't go on. No, no, no. God loves us. He corrects our behavior. And if we love our kids, we will correct their behaviors. So we talked about, first of all, the reason of discipline. Why should we discipline? Because the foolishness aboundeth in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. Second reason, because of the loving care of a parent. Because a parent loves their kid, they will discipline them. Let's go with the second idea here. The instrument of discipline. Now, we understand that most people have never been taught how to discipline their kids. That when the baby is born, there's a umbilical cord that comes out and there's no instructions attached to it. Most people do the best they can with what they have, but they need to be taught. What the horrible thing that's happened in the last 50 years is that we've turned over child rearing to unsaved psychologists, and they've ruined children. We need to have a revolution back to the Bible and see what the Bible has to say. And we have to teach people today how to discipline. We actually teach a class, which we will, after we stop recording, how to discipline. And these are necessary because people aren't taught and they need the tools to succeed. So we need to do this. So the instrument of discipline. What is meant by the rod? We're talking about the rod of correction. The Old Testament defines it as a wooden stick or a branch from a tree. So the literal idea, not a figurative idea, is a switch. a rod, something. The word rod in Proverbs is the Hebrew word shabbat. It's used to describe the rod a shepherd used to tend the sheep. Now, the shepherd rarely used the rod to, quote unquote, beat the lamb. Instead, the shepherd would take the rod and spank their hindquarters to get them to go in the right direction. Go this way, go this way, go this way. The sheep came to fear the rod without fearing the shepherd. That's how it should be. They should see the shepherd as loving and the rod as the instrument. If a lamb wandered off beyond the shepherd's reach, the shepherd would toss the stick in front of the lamb, and the lamb would go, nope, and come back to the flock. So here's the great lesson for parents. It's no fun to use a rod to punish your child, but the Bible says that it's an important part of directing them, getting them to go to the right direction. God has equipped children with the perfect spanking place that you apply the rod of correction to the seed of education. They have a natural spot. There are no vital organs. There's natural padding, and it is safe and acceptable. Someone once said, when your child is good, you pet them on the back. When they're bad, you pat them a little bit lower. So, there is a proper instrument to use. God instructs parents to use a rod for an important reason. A rod is a neutral object. It is better to use a switch or small stick than to punish a child with your hands. Why? Your hand should always be a loving act. I hold my kids' hands. That should be a loving act. When I give them a hug, when I place my hand on them, it should be a loving act. We don't use an instrument of a loving act. We use a different neutral thing so they don't grow up in fear of your hand. Does that make sense? Just practical ideas here. It's tempting for kids or parents to spontaneously slap their misbehaving kid on the leg, but that's a bad habit to begin. Always use the proper instrument at the proper place. It is never appropriate for a parent to use their fist or hands to beat their children anywhere else. That is called child abuse, and we do not stand for that. There's a proper way to do it, and we need to do it properly. Which now brings us to the how. How do we discipline? There are several steps that need to be set up for this. First of all, let's cover the steps. Talk to them beforehand and get them to admit what they did wrong. This is an important step. They need to know what they did wrong. So you bring them in. Why are we here? Because I did such and such. If they refuse to admit what they did wrong, you need to work with them on that. They need to acknowledge that they did wrong. Why? So they don't do it again. We let them know, this is what did you do? Then have them acknowledge that their disobedience brings consequences and that you need to keep your word, all right? I told you the next time we do this, what's going to happen? Spanking. Do I have to keep my word? Yes. Am I a liar? No. So guess what we're going to get? A spanking. What you're doing is you're teaching them to understand that actions have consequences. And they need to understand that. Remember, what are they lacking? They're called foolish. What is foolishness? Lacking discernment. How do they get discernment? By understanding there's consequences for actions. This is part of the system. The whole thing is to help correct their behavior, not to punish them. It is to correct their behavior. So first of all, we get them to admit what they did wrong. Second of all, we get them to acknowledge that there's consequences, their actions. Did you do wrong? Yes. Because you did wrong, what did we say was going to happen? A spanking. Am I a liar? No. Do I have to keep my word? Yes. So what are we going to get? A spanking. Get them to acknowledge this. By the way, small children can do this too. Now, spank them over a bed with pants up, hand on their back to keep control so they don't move and jump. Spank only the rear, causing a sting. And then you spank until the rebellion is gone. Until the rebellion is gone. The whole session is useless if you don't accomplish that. You just wasted your time and put resentment. By the way, one or two swats is not enough to get the job done. You spank until that rebellion's gone. After the spanking, review what happened. Now, what did you do? I did this. Now, because you did this, what did you deserve? A spanking? Did you get your spanking? Yes. Now you tell them, now it's forgiven. We're not going to speak to it ever again. I'm not going to call your grandparents. I'm not going to call the neighbor down the road. We're not going to tell church people. It's done and over with. I forgive you. It's taken care of. We're done. And you remind them that you love them. Amen. I love you. And I'm not going to stop loving you. And you pray with them. If they're resistant at this point, you didn't do the job well to go back to the other steps. But they should be submissive by this time and willing to pray and glad to give you a hug. This is part of that act. Now, never spank out of anger. Make sure that you're clear and right with the Lord. Never spank a child because they made you look bad. Now, there's a lot of stuff to this. You say, what do I do if I'm angry? Don't send them to the room. That's where they want to go. Amen. Don't send them to the room. Never. Oh, what should I do then? We had a cool thing at our house. Our kids still hate to this day. Is that we made them stand in a corner with their nose against the wall, and there had to be room between them, their forehead and the wall. It had to be pure nose. Feet spread apart, hands behind their back, and they stand there until I'm clear enough. That way the whole time they haven't forgotten what they've done. It's like Christmas. They're now anticipating the event. Instead of forgetting what happened. Remember, the whole thing is to correct their behavior. If I'm too angry to spank, they stand there until I am clear-headed enough and I go take care of me. Then when I'm clear-headed enough, I could spank them for the purpose of correcting them. Now, another mistake parents do is they try to discipline their kids because they make them look bad. They're out in public. Listen, if your kids are failing in public, it's because you haven't done it correctly at home. At Walmart is not the time to correct your child. Amen. It's already too late. You take them back home and you fix that. Amen. Stop it. You're making me look bad. Don't be a Walmart parent. You should already have them disciplined before you take them public. Amen. All right. And then because what happens, stop it. You're making me look bad. Shut up. Behave. Now you're getting, because of pride, you feel like you look bad. You don't care about the kid and correcting their behavior. You just want to get back at them for making you look bad. That's dangerous. That's why you work with them at home. They should be obeying every command at home, and they'll obey at other places as well. You work at them at home. When kids mess up in public, it is evidence that they're not doing it correctly at home. Now, the worst thing you could do is to threaten your kid with correction and not deliver on your promise. Remember what I said before? Am I a liar? No. Then I have to keep my word. The kids know what you said. Now, they may be trying to get out of it, but they also keep track. If you warn your kid not to cross the street in front of your house alone because you don't want him to be risked by hitting by a car, then you tell him if you cross the street, you're going to spank him. Later on, you find that your kid crosses the street and you rush over, drag him back, fussing the whole way. What are you doing here? All right. Then you say, well, I told you I was going to spank you, but I'm not going to do it this time. Then you're a liar. And your kid knows that you're a liar. You've just taught them that there are actions without consequences and they can behave however they want. That's the wrong lesson to teach them. They must understand there's consequences for all of their actions. If you say that there's a punishment, there needs to be a punishment. You be consistent with it. Now, people get worried. Our liberal society has made a big deal out of spanking. But do you know that most states have given permission to apply reasonable punishment for the correction of behavior? We're in Wisconsin. Wisconsin state law gives lots of liberty for a parent to be a parent. And by the way, I work with police, I work with DHS. If you explain the steps and have practiced the steps I told you, DHS will say, you know what, you are doing it correctly.
Amen.
So you don't even have to worry about them. I talk with them. I explain my steps, so that way I'm not just out of the blue. If you do things correctly in the way that we told you to, you're not going to get in trouble for it. You have plenty of liberty to be the parent. Don't let liberal people scare you away from obeying the Bible. You have right now, in the state we live in, you have liberty to be the parent. Common sense and good practice are expected. Anyone following the steps will not have any problems with authority. I deal with the police. I tell them what we do. They said, if anybody told me that, I'd say, do a good job. Keep being the parent. You understand? I'm trying to get the fear out of it because people do get afraid. They're afraid what someone else is going to say. If you're doing it right, you will not get in trouble. Don't worry about it. You do what God has given you to do. So now we come to the end result of discipline. Turn back with me to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, the end result. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, and notice with me in verse 13 and 14. Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Now, why is it saying that? Because your child is going to make it feel like he is. You're killing me! I am not. All right? You keep doing your job as a parent. They will live. They're durable. All right, thou shalt beat him with the rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. That word beat is not what we would consider child abuse. It's carrying the idea of applying the pressure correctly, okay? What's the end result? Thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. What does this mean? Does this mean that if I spank them, they're going to get saved? No, they're going to understand salvation. They're going to understand that because of my actions, there's a consequence. Because of my sin, I owe God a debt. I owe God a punishment. But Jesus took that punishment for me. Why is it that some kids can get saved at age 5? Because they had parents that disciplined them and they understood it. Why is it some kids could be 11 and have no clue about salvation? Because they've never been taught there's consequences for actions and they don't understand it. Part of a parent is you understand this is a spiritual idea. Do you want your children to be saved? Yes. Then you apply biblical discipline. Not only to correct them here on earth, but to also help them to be ready to understand salvation and the gift that God has given to them. They need to understand that there's consequences for action. Notice, if you don't mind, another passage. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. We're seeing the end result of discipline. One great result of discipline is not only they behave well on earth, but they can understand salvation and they can get saved. We still know 20-year-olds who are not saved because they don't understand there's consequences for their actions. They're fools. Proverbs 19, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You want to find a brokenhearted mother? You find a parent who refused to discipline their kids. Breaks their heart. That child will crush that heart. Devastate them. Verse 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. And he shall give delight unto thy soul. Do you know that you don't have to have a horrible household? You could have a household of peace and rest, a household where you want to be with your kids. I deal with people all the time who can't stand being with their kids. Isn't that horrible? You should want to be with your kids. I remember a couple of years ago as my kids were being teenagers, people like, well, how old are your kids? I don't know, 17, 16, 15. They're like, oh, I'm so sorry for you. Why? This is the best time of my life. Now that they're 19, 18, and 17, this is the best time of my life. I love my kids. I love hanging around them. I love spending with them. They're a blessing. There's a delight. We have rest in our home. We don't have to have the teenage fights. That should be how it is. By the way, I'm not the exception. Anyone who follows this is going to have a blessings. Now, the choice is your choice or God's choice. You see, you either do it God's way or you think you have a better plan. Every person who thought they have a better plan has broken up, had heartbreak and shame. Listen, there's a lot of times people just discount what the preacher says. Raising kids is not the one you want to mess with. You want to say, oh yeah? Well, I'm going to prove the preacher wrong. And then to end up having your kids break your heart, was it worth it? Follow what the Bible says. He knows what he's doing. This is not pastor's plan. This is God's plan. He knows what he's doing, and we can trust him. That's the end result. What are you going to do? Now, some of you say, well, I'm not at the place. My kids are grown up, or I don't have kids. Yes, remember what we said before? There are many people who have never been taught.
Amen.
We need to teach them. Amen. You need to know these things for yourself so you could teach someone else how to have a happy household, a restful, a delightful household by following God's principles. We all know too many people around us that don't have happy households, that it is war between the parents and their kids, and they're miserable, and they don't have to have it. We can have the blessings that God has for us. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.